spin as they look to find the man on the far side, and they do, and they've scored. It's Al Tanaka who drills it into the bottom corner, and his inclusion has been justified. Japan have just their second goal of this third round of Asian qualifying. Finally, we're ready. It is going to be Aiden Frostage in off the crossbar. Australia all square, cracking free kick by Frostage. They didn't need the penalty. It's all square at 1-1. Here's Asano. He's onside. And Matt Ryan can't keep it out. It's bundled in at the back post. Asano takes the credit. Furuhashi might have got the final touch. But what is certain is that Japan have their lead back at 2-1. Matty Ryan got a paw to it, but could not keep it out. They're almost there, Japan. And their victory is confirmed. Japan ending Australia's 11-game winning streak, and they revive their own hopes of qualifying into the bargain. Look at what it means for the Samurai Blue. Huge disappointment for Australia.
That was last night, so there you go. The streak is over. Japan beating the Socceroos 2-1. That puts an end to our 11-game winning streak. From around the grounds right here on SEN, Adam Peacock joins me this morning. Good morning, mate. What is it about Australia and Japan?
It's a great rivalry. Morning, Matty. We know this every time we play, and I'm looking forward to the return fixture back down here at the back end of World Cup qualifying. But, yeah, they do bring out the best in each other, and it's just a great rivalry that's really borne out over the last 10, 12 years, especially when Australia, or even longer now, God, I'm getting old, since we've been in the Asian Confederation, and you probably go back to Kaiserslautern in that great game. At the opening game of the 2006 World Cup. But, yeah, it was a tight one. They're always really, really tight affairs, and it was a good game of football, and Australia just didn't get it quite right on the night. And I, like, at a pinch, you could say we maybe deserved a draw, but no real major complaints this morning that Japan took all three.
You just took me back to Kaiserslautern 2006. I was there for that, mate. The good folk of Kaiserslautern, it's a ripping little town. The good German folk of Kaiserslautern didn't know what the hell hit them when a whole stack of Japanese supporters and a whole stack of Socceroos supporters got together before and after the game. That was crazy.
I remember we were both working at Channel 7 at the time, and you went over there, did you not?
Yeah.
And you stayed in a pig farm because you couldn't find any... I don't know why that just came into my brain, but you were staying in a pig farm because you couldn't find anywhere because you went over so late. And you came back with some good stories.
No, what happened was they originally had us based nowhere near... Remember how the Socceroos were camped out in Oeringen? In the middle of nowhere, and... They had us based at a hotel. I can't remember where it was near, but it was nowhere near Oeringen. So we did a bit of a flip-flop with one of the guys that was working for us who had found this pig farm, a family of four running a pig farm. So we went and moved in there. And, mate, I can tell you without a word of a lie, there were times, depending on which way the wind was blowing, there were times in the morning when the stink was so bad that we had to park the car up as close as... Somebody would be designated to go out and get the car. You'd have to park it as close as you could to the front door and then run from the front door with your mouth covered over because we just smelled of pig crap all the time. But thanks for bringing back those wonderful memories. That was good fun. So, look, where does this leave us in our stage of World Cup qualification?
Well, look, it's still, we've got control of our own destiny, which is so important. You set yourself up in the first half of a World Cup qualifying group. We play 10 matches. We've played four now. We're on top. The second, Saudi Arabia got another win last night. They snuck past China at home 3-2. But we now, the next one is absolutely critical to win. That's why it's a bit annoying that we didn't get a point out of last night, because it takes the heat off the need to get all 3 points in our next match, which is on November 11. I saw Arnie turn politician after the game last night and pleading with the government to get it done, to have it here in Sydney. It's looking increasingly likely that that will happen, because the Matildas are playing two matches at the end of October here in Sydney with new biosecurity measures in place with a bubble. Hopefully we play Saudi Arabia here and we have to take all three. But I think after that, we can really reassess exactly where we are, but we're in a pretty good spot at the moment.
Mate, can you talk me through what's happening with the referees and Football Australia at the moment? Because I've got a statement here, but it's very, very legalistic, if you like. I mean, the bottom line is that the Professional Football Referees Association have advised Football Australia that they're members, so there will be no professional football referees in charge of FFA Cup matches and A-League trial matches.
Yeah, so there's a select group. I think there's three full-time referees attached to the A-League. But with the separation, the A-Leagues have moved away from Football Australia, so they're not the same organisation anymore. They were for a long period of time there, but now they've split. The referees were with Football Australia. They're the governing body of the whole sport in Australia. Now that's fallen apart. It's almost as if they've gone, oh, yeah, what about the refs? They've done all the players and they've done all the coaches and everything else's administration, everything. They've reached no deal with the ref. I'm sure something will work out, but in the interim, I think the best thing is that they should just have no refs again. Just see how that goes and just let them ref themselves in FFA Cup games. That'd be interesting to watch. But no, I think they'll get some really good referees who referee at state level to be able to handle that. But at the moment, it's a bit of a question mark. They've got about a month to sort it out. I'm sure they will. That the referees are so important and hopefully they get what they need.
What have you made of the controversy surrounding the Matildas and more so the statement that was put out by the players this week?
Yeah, I want to know whose idea it was. I'd like to know that. I get that they want to stand up for what they see as right and as a collective, and they've certainly done that. I'm not entirely sure, and they were probably agitating for it because they feel that they've got no voice at the moment. But James Johnson's done the exact right thing with this whole thing. He's gone, right, Sport Integrity Australia, you handle it. We don't want... That's what happened last time with the stages thing. We tried to handle it in-house and it was a complete cluster, you know what. So that's why we're here now, because it wasn't handled properly back then. I think James Johnson's done the exact right thing. Is it... Okay, Lisa Devanna and all these stories coming out, especially in the News Corp press in the last couple of weeks, that the players felt like they were backed into a corner and they want to stand up for themselves. Hopefully that's it. Now, it won't be it, because they're all coming down here. They're all going to do daily media conferences. They can't hide from this. And that's going to be the main topic of discussion when they're discussing the Brazil games on October 23 and 26. I hope they know what's coming. There's going to be 1,000 questions about exactly what's going on behind the scenes. And people are going to get very, very agitated very, very quickly. So there's so much more to come with this. Hopefully this Sport Integrity Inquiry happens thoroughly, but happens at a rate which we're not being dragged on into the middle part of next year. It needs to get fully investigated. We can't leave anything now that in 3 years' time we'll come back and go, oh, but what about this incident? What about that incident? Just do it all. Lisa Devanna's copying it from left, right and centre. I don't know where the truth lies, to be brutally honest. I'm hearing stories from both sides of the fence. I don't know where the truth lies, but I want to know. So hopefully we can get to the bottom of it. But I think it's going to get a little more messy before it gets better.
Yeah, and I think I totally agree with everything you've just said, mate. And I think obviously the investigation will hopefully get to the bottom of the truth, and therefore not just about what's happened, but ensuring that it doesn't continue to happen or can't happen again. And around that statement, I mean, it fell on our lap while we were doing this show, and I'm 100% with you on the collective voice of the players. They've got every right, and I think a need to do that. I think how it was then delivered was bad advice given to them, because it came out as a manufactured statement. And it just didn't hit the mark, in my opinion. But that's what they decided to do. Now, a couple of things away from the world of football. Talk to me about the Saturday Mowers Club for around the grounds. You and Nick Davis have come up with this. You're talking to a bloke who doesn't mind sitting on his ride-on mower for up to 3 hours a time.
The Mowers Club was born out of boredom, like most things with myself and Nick. We were sitting there one Saturday morning, and there wasn't much happening, and we just started talking about the fact that how good is it on a Saturday morning, you rip into the mowing and you get it done, and how proud you are, and you might be having your neighbour across the road doing the same thing. And we thought that a lot of people might be doing that if they're listening to the show and put the earbuds in and just mow the lawns while they're listening to us. So we thought, let's do a Mowers Club. Let's educate as much as we can ourselves and people that might be listening about what you can do to get the most out of your lawn. because that's when you really want to attack it on a Saturday morning. So we thought, bugger it, let's delve into this. So each week we're trying to get someone on who's an expert in the field. We've had Adam Lewis from the SCG. We had Nathan Lyon on last week, who's an expert. And we had Paul Gow, who knows a thing or two about growing grass on a golf course. So, yeah, this week I'm not sure where we're going, but that's the Mowers Club, basically.
Righto. So it is just that simple. That's the Mowers Club. Come in, get somebody on the line, talk to me about the best way to mow my grass.
Yeah, and share stories amongst ourselves from our listeners as well, who text in and let us know any bit of tips about what fertiliser to use and what else is a no-no when you're mowing your lawn. Like, a big no-no is having no catcher. A big no-no is mowing the lawn and your budgie smugglers. You've got to be sun safe. You've got to use intelligence. You can't go before 8 a.m. because that's not being nice to your fellow human, basically. You love thy neighbours. It's the worst thing in the world you can do.
Well, then you've got the thing, you know, do you get people who whippersnipper the edges before they mow or after they mow?
Well, that in itself is a conundrum. I've heard of a lot of instances where people doing it after. I just can't contemplate it. What's the point in doing that? You clean up the clippings from the whippersnipper with the mower. I'm a big leaf mower as well. I'll put a pile of leaves in the middle of the lawn and I'll just go over those to get them in the catcher. I can't be bothered sweeping them up by themselves. So, you know, there's ways and means.
All right. Okay, I'm going to throw it out there. I'm actually going to get my listeners to see if they've got any mowing tips for you, and then they can tip into your show around the grounds and join that conversation. We've covered everything, mate. Got to move on. Thanks for your time. Have a good one.
Cheers, mate.
There he is, Adam Peacock. Bring it on, folks. Mowing tips. What do you do first? Do you clip before or after? Let me know.